come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Rotary? Hello. What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
Had a little bout of speech impediment there. But we're coming at you with a Brooke's pick of February, and you chose 1971's Shaft.
Yes, sir.
He's a bad, bad man. You kind of mentioned on our last episode why you're picking this one, but just reiterate your reason.
Yeah, I mean, this month is Black History Month, and I wanted to kind of Shaft is, I guess, considered the first black action hero, I guess. And I've never seen it. I know how iconic the theme song is and just the character. I've never seen any of the iterations of it.
I'm surprised you never saw the Samuel L. Jackson ones.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Because they came out at like a prime time for us. But yeah, this one was a first time watch for me too. So I'm glad you picked it, because I remember like the Samuel L. Jackson remakes are not good in the critics' eyes anyways, but I remembered enjoying them. But yeah, after watching this, I kind of want to go back and rewatch them.
Cool.
But yeah, before we talk about this, we'll kick off our box office news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
Still working away on my Brouwer Kaufman beverages.
Yeah. What's that one?
That one is Hell's. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. What are you drinking? All
right. Just a Michelob tonight.
Okay, nice.
Pretty boring. What have you watched since we last talked?
A few things. I just want to quickly mention. Oops, didn't mean to do that. I've picked up my Hellraiser watch again.
Yes.
So I watched Hellraiser Deader and Hellraiser Revelations.
Yeah.
Just both terrible half stars. And then I've been reading or listening to, I guess, the full cast audio editions of Harry Potter.
Yep.
So I'm going to do that this year. And then I've been watching the movie after to kind of see like the differences, and
yeah,
quite a few differences, honestly. I just started watching Prisoner of Azkaban tonight, about maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like quite a few differences, honestly, of the book to the movies.
Yeah. How are the full cast audios?
They're amazing. They're so good.
Yeah. Do they have like the sound effects and everything too? Or?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's sick. Yeah.
But definitely, I would definitely use your Audible credits on them.
Okay.
Because they are fucking expensive books.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't use your credit. I think for like the member price, they're like 40 or 45 bucks, I think.
Holy
each.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I'm definitely using my credits for
Yeah.
those.
Understandable.
Yeah, so anyway, I watched a couple new movies from last year. I watched Eternity, which is on Apple TV. That's with, can't think of their names.
Yeah. Sarah wants to watch it.
Anyways, the one guy who's like blowing up right now. And then, anyway,
yeah,
I thought it was an interesting premise, kind of like scary, honestly, but,
okay.
Not the movie scary, but just like the
Yeah.
thought of that. Then I watched Black Phone 2 finally. I was not a fan of it. I did not like it at
I
all.
See this.
I gave it a 2 out of 5. I was already skeptical going into it, and then just where it kind of went, and
Yeah.
I don't know, I thought it was silly, and I don't know, definitely not
Yeah.
needed. I'm definitely in a minority. I know people enjoy that movie, but I just, yeah, wasn't a fan.
Yeah, but you liked the first one, right?
I did a lot, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. For me, I'm not even going to pull mine up. I watched I Love You, Man.
Classic.
Just fucking love that movie so much, man.
That's so
It's
good, yeah.
so funny. And then I watched 2025's The Naked Gun.
I saw that.
I was not a big fan of it. I don't know if I just wasn't in that type of comedy mood the night that I watched it, but it just,
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think Liam Neeson did better than I was expecting him to do with it,
Yeah.
but it just didn't hit for me. The humor didn't hit for me. It just, I don't know. It was weird. And then we were on an episode with Two Chicks in a Horror Flick, and we discussed Tusk, so watch
Yes.
that one as well. But yeah.
Speaking of Jason Segel, did you see his new movie coming out?
Dude, yes, that looks so fucking good.
With Samara Weaving and
Yeah.
Oliphant, and it's
Yeah.
the same director that did what's Never
Yeah.
Stopping,
Yeah,
the Andy Samberg one.
it wasn't Yorma, it was the other guy. Can't remember what his name. Fuck, it's a weird name. I just had it on the tip of my
Yeah, it
tongue.
is a weird name.
Akiva.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it honestly looks really fucking good. I just
Yeah.
watched a trailer for it earlier today.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Samara Weaving fan, so I'm
Yeah, a lot
excited
of
for it.
trailers came out like today, I felt like.
Yeah.
Like Toy Story, and then I saw they kept playing Masters Universe or whatever
Yeah.
as well. Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for that one too, to be honest.
Yeah, I never watched any of it, so I'm not
Yeah.
a fan, but I don't know. Yeah.
All right. For our box office, we have three movies in the top five that are in their opening weekend. But in fifth place, we have Solo Mio with 6.3 million. I don't know what that is, but
Never heard of it, yeah.
me either. Send Help is in fourth place with 8.8 million.
Nice.
I really want to watch that.
Yeah, me too.
Crime 101 is in third place for its opening weekend, and that brought in 14.2. Goat is in second place. It brought in 27.2. I was looking at the cast list for that, and man, fucking rock star cast.
Probably, I would, yeah.
So many NBA players, and like fucking Angel Reese is in it. It's just,
Yeah.
yeah. I'm not gonna go to the theaters to watch it, but I'll definitely watch it
Yeah.
whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
And then in first place, we have Wuthering Heights, which brought in 32.
Yeah. Which
And
I hear is getting pretty wrecked out
that's what I was
there.
just about to say. Yeah, people are shitting on this movie. So
Yeah.
I could see it dropping pretty hard in this chart. I want to give a quick honorable mention. In seventh place, we have Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die with 3.6 million. Have you watched the trailers for this?
No, but I've seen it popped up on
Man.
people's Letterboxd and like TikToks and stuff talking about it.
It looks so fun. Like
Yeah, I
Sam.
also really want to watch. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say Sam Rockwell looks like he did a bang up job in it.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Nice. Also that other movie, Nirvana, the
Yes.
movie, the band, the show, whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently that movie is just fucking hilarious and is already like being called one of the best movies of this year already.
Really?
I know we're just starting, but yeah, I guess it's really, really fucking funny and good.
Okay. Yeah, it came in 12th place with 1.4 million.
It's the same guy that made Blackberry.
Okay.
And I guess that these two had like a online show like years and years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are only three people in the fucking movie? Huh. Matthew Johnson, Jay McCarroll, and Jared Rabb. That's on the box office, but
Oh, okay.
yeah, more. But yeah, I haven't seen anything about it, but I did notice it on this list here. All right. Oh shit. The Mortuary Assistant came out this weekend too.
Oh, nice.
It did not do well.
Yeah.
259,000.
Damn.
It was only open in 208 theaters though, so that hurts.
Yeah.
Anyways, what do we have for 4Ks?
4Ks. 4Ks, we got Predator Badlands, Steelbook.
Nice. That's a sick steelbook.
That is, yeah. We got Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Also sick. Oh, that's the
Sick.
new one.
That was a new one. Oh yeah,
The
2025. Yeah.
yeah.
I didn't even know there was a new one.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sisu Road to Revenge.
Sick.
That is a sick steelbook.
I still need to watch that.
Yeah, me too. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Steelbook. Ben-Hur.
Ah, you watched it too
Steelbook.
soon.
I just watched it, yeah. All the President's Men. Badlands, I already mentioned. Ben-Hur. Just different versions. Five Nights at Freddy's 2. That wasn't in theaters very long, was it?
No, it wasn't. The
Feel.
boys have been begging me to watch it, but I was just like, I've
Oh
watched the trailer and I don't know, man. It looks pretty fucking
yeah.
scary compared to the
Yeah.
first one.
Yeah. A Beautiful Mind. We got the Godfather steelbook. It's
Dude,
fucking
that's
sick.
beautiful.
That is, yeah. Transformers 1 steelbook. We got Scream 1996 steelbook reprint.
So cool.
Mean Girls, Small Soldiers,
Damn.
Frontier Crucible. No idea what that is. The Visitor, Double Impact, Wrath of Man, Nightcrawler. That's a sick steelbook too.
It is.
Dead
Hey,
Silence.
I have that.
You do, yeah. The Dead Zone, Brotherhood of the Wolf. I feel like we just talked about that movie.
Yeah, someone directed it.
Professor or Christopher Gaines, yeah.
Yeah.
Child's Play 2, Steelbook, Trick or Treat, and Knock Off.
Damn,
So
that's
quite a
a
few.
fucking shit ton.
Yeah, it is.
There was a lot that I want to get too. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Fuck. A lot of those steelbooks are really cool.
Yeah, they are.
All right. Well, we ready to dive into this movie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Shaft from 1971. Starting off with the synopsis. A crime lord hires black private eye John Shaft to find and retrieve his kidnapped daughter. This was directed by Gordon Parks. He directed the sequel called Shaft's Big Score, The Learning Tree, Super Cops, and Lead Belly. He didn't have a very big directing resume. For cast, we have Richard Roundtree, who plays John Shaft. Moses Gunn played Bumpy Jonas. Charles Cioffi played Vic Androzzi. And Christopher St. John played Ben Buford. I didn't have any honorable mentions. I don't know if you do.
No, it didn't. I don't think so.
I didn't recognize anybody.
Yeah,
I
no.
mean, I guess like we can give a shout out to Isaac Hayes, who did a lot of the music for this movie. He plays
Yeah.
Chef in South Park until he passed away.
Oh my God, really? That's hilarious. That's funny.
Good.
Yes, sir.
All right. Fucking lay it on him.
Yeah, so talk about Shaft from 1971. It is in New York, and this like whole first 10 minutes, I feel that much happens, but like pretty much tells you what kind of the movie is going to be like.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much that happens. Well, there is, but isn't, but it's a lot of John Shaft just kind of running the streets of New York, you know, just traveling around, going different spots, and he's an investigator, right? So he's like, you know. But I gotta say, like, after watching like this and like we did Bullet, I think it was like 68 or
Yeah.
70. I love the look of like these movies.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just like that dark, grainy look.
It's honestly like it's the same feeling of whenever we went and watched Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair. Like
Yeah.
the 70mm with like the grainy, the cigarette burns, and like they try and like enhance it for the visuals of this day and age, but they still
Yeah.
have those like old school kind of camera techniques.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with you. They're just so fucking cool the way that they're
Yeah.
filmed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Shaft because like he just like you see in this opening, like He's like talking to people, and he's so like cool and like nonchalant, just like doesn't give a fuck. Like he just crosses the street when cars are going by, and he's like, "Get the fuck out of the way, man!" And like just doesn't give a shit.
Walking in between cars as they're driving by.
And then like the theme song starts playing, and it's that iconic, the guy's like saying something, the girl's like, "Ah, who?" And he's like, "Oh, it's Shaft," and just it's just so cool, man.
I love the score in this movie.
Yeah, it's really good. There are some things that like kind of brought me back to like the things that we had in this time and age, like a whole store just for shoe shining. It's like, what is even like, I feel like people these days don't give a shit about their shoes as much as like
No.
in this time, right?
Well, 'cause like less people are wearing dress shoes now, right? Like people don't wear suit and ties as much as they used to. The
No.
whole fashion style has kind of changed.
Yeah. Unless they we work on like Wall Street or something, right? So he's just walking around, and then we meet Lieutenant Vic Andrazi. He is a cop, and he's trying to ask Shaft some questions, and he has like a little buddy cop there. And you could tell that Vic is like friends with Shaft, and this other guy has no idea who the fuck Shaft is, and Shaft is like kind of like talking back to him, and it just like I don't know, the way that he carries himself is funny
He's
to
just
me.
so charismatic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the guy sends Tom to get some cigars for Shaft, and I love the guy comes out of the store with cigars, and Shaft is leaving, and the guy's like, "Where the fuck do you think you're going?" Shaft is like, "To get laid. Where the hell are you going?" And just like his camaraderie, like with Vic, you could tell that they have a very good, like working relationship, friendship kind of thing. Because like Vic has opportunities to like either arrest Shaft or do stuff, and he like doesn't.
Yeah, because Vic's like an actual police lieutenant, right? And like the stuff that Shaft does is it's pretty questionable at times, the way he gets his information. Like he's a private investigator, right? So they generally do whatever they have to do to get.
So yeah, he tells Shaft that there was two guys looking for him. So Shaft is like, "All right, cool." So he looks in some store and sees a guy kind of weird looking or kind of sketchy. So he's like, "Okay, this must be the guy." That goes around, catches the guy, goes up to his office, and ends up getting a fight with these two inside of Shaft's office. And it was a sick little fight that they had, because like there's like two on one, and Shaft just beating the fuck out of him. I love like kind of like the POV, like quick POV, like up close and kind of personal, like not like shaky cam, but like I don't know. And then just fucking tosses one guy out the window.
Took me by surprise so much.
Me too. And they're like, five or six stories up, so that guy's fucking I didn't expect that. Just goes flying out the window. So you find out that a guy named Bumpy sent them to bring him uptown. So Bumpy is kind of like a gangster pimp who runs pretty much the uptown of New York, Harlem, I think.
And like they weren't even gonna fight him. They just wanted to tell him to come. One guy gets tossed out a fucking window. The other guy gets the shit kicked out of him. Held at gunpoint.
Shaft gets taken into the cops, and he's like talking to Vic, and Vic's like, "Hey, man, like you killed a guy, like your license could be suspended for up to 6 months." And Shaft is just like so like he doesn't give a shit. Like he's just so nonchalant. Like he acts like cocky and like untouchable, but like he doesn't seem cocky. It's just like his kind of suaveness that has
So
a kind of an
confident.
aura, confidence, and like kind of an aura to him a bit. I think Richard Roundtree did a fantastic job
Yeah, he was good.
as this character. I love when he's outside and going back to his office, and he's like hails down a taxi, And then the taxi comes to pick him up and then like just leaves and picks up a white guy down the road. He's just
Yeah.
like, oh, white motherfucker. But just like goes to show you like kind of the time
Yeah.
back then, because this was in the 71, so it's like right after all the shit in the 60s with African American. Yeah, so Bumpy is at his office. He has like a kind of helper dude, like right hand man, who is like a super serious guy, but Shaft is like just like a dick to him.
Yeah.
And Bumpy's like, ah, just go way outside. Yeah, the guys, I fucking hate this guy.
I love the interaction we have with him later on too. I think it's the same guy.
It is, yeah. And like Bumpy's sitting in his chair, and Shaft just comes around, takes his jacket off, and it's just like, you're in my fucking seat. And it's like, he doesn't give a shit. This guy's like a pimp who like who runs a whole block of New York. So Bumpy kicks his buddy out and says that he has a job for him, a detective job. Someone kidnapped his daughter, and Shaft's like, well, why don't you go to the cops? And he's like, I can't go to the cops, so I want to hire you. And they kind of work out a deal. Bumpy tells him that he doesn't know who took his daughter, but he thinks it could be this group called the Lumumbas. I think I'm
Yeah,
saying that
I think
right.
that's what it was. Yeah.
It's run by a guy named Ben Buford. And so yeah, like Bumpy says, he can't go around blaming or attacking other people without knowing for sure that they have his daughter. Yeah, so Shaft finds out where this Ben guy is gonna be later on, and he tells Bumpy that, okay, I want $50 an hour plus expenses, and I don't give a shit what the expenses are. You're gonna pay for it, basically.
Yeah, I love that. He's like, and you're not gonna ask me what I'm spending the money on. All
Yeah,
right.
yeah. And then we see Shaft get laid finally, like he said he was going to.
Yeah.
And I was confused. I don't know if this was his girlfriend,
I don't think so.
because like she had pictures of him there,
Yeah.
but then later on we see him have sex with another girl. So I was like, I don't know, maybe.
He's just Shaft, baby.
Exactly. I do really like the like kind of talking lingo in this movie. Like when they're talking to like the guys and stuff, they always say like baby or
Yeah.
just like the words that they use is just reminiscent of like, yeah. So he's at Ben's apartment. He gets in there, and all of Ben's guys are like skeptical of him, and like one guy pulls a gun, and Shaft is like, just cool it, man. Someone you hear some gunfire, so someone is attacking Buford's guys. They run out of there. I believe five of his guys run down the stairs, and Shaft is like to Buford, like, no, we can't go that way, let's go this way. And we see all five of Buford's guys get killed by someone. And they're hiding in some lady's place, and they end up escaping together. And you can tell like Ben doesn't trust Shaft because he's a private investigator.
They do
But
know each other though. Like they grew up together, I think is what they
I think
said.
he says that, and then Ben says, man, it's been the long ass fucking time since we grew up together.
I felt so bad for that little old lady too, because they just fucking bust open her door in the middle of all this gunfighting. And she's just like, what the hell is this?
But they give her money to pay for the door that they broke down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Buford's boys get killed. Buford thinks that Shaft set him up, but Shaft kind of convinces him, like, nah, like it wasn't me, like you gotta come with me. And they all work together to figure out if these guys are after Ben or after Shaft. Yeah, so he goes and sees Vic, and I forget what the line was that set this up, but I think Vic asked him something like, that's the worst thing that can happen or something like that. And then Shaft's like, no, man, I was born black and born poor. That's the worst thing, or something like that. Yeah, just the way he did John talks, it's just like so smooth. Just his canter and the way like his line delivery too. thought is kind of is add to it. So him and Ben get to Buffy's place, and like you said, this is another scene that he kind of is cheesing Bumpy's helper dude because he wants to like check Chaff for guns. Chaff is like, "Nah, you're not checking me." He's gonna check you. He's like, "No, you're not fucking touching me." And then he calls Bumpy, and he's like, "Oh yeah, Shaft is here, but he won't let me fucking check him for guns. I just let him in," and the guy's like all fucking pissed off.
He's like, I'm gonna get you one day, Shaft.
Yeah. So they go in to talk to Bumpy, and they kind of realize that Bumpy knew all along that it wasn't Ben that did it, that it was the mafia that took his daughter. And so yeah, he basically set them up. Why did he want to go to Bumpy in the first place, or have him go to Bumpy? Was it to get help?
Have him go to Ben, you mean?
Or sorry, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, to Ben.
I think it was that. Yeah, he wants Ben's guys to help find who it was because he knows that it's the mafia that's doing it. And it's creating like this kind of this war between Bumpy's guys and the mafiosa, the mafiosi. So I think he wanted Shaft to recruit as many of Ben's guys as he could so that Bumpy's guys weren't the one possibly.
That makes sense. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But then Ben has some pretty hefty demands with it all.
I mean, it's
Rightfully
reasonable,
so.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
he wants 10,000 a head, and then Shaft's like, if he's getting 10, I want 20.
Yeah, and he's like, "You already owe me 50K because you killed five guys." And then Bumpy says, "Oh, like money's not a thing, like blah blah blah." And then after, Bumpy is like, "If you don't complete this, then you're in fucking big shit." And then Shaft is like, "Well, I thought you didn't care about money, baby." And then he's like, "Oh, I can." What he says after that, but he kind of like contradicted himself a little bit.
he says something about how, oh, I thought money wasn't important or something like that. And then I like this part because Bumpy's just puffing on his cigar and he's like, money's always important.
Because he says the first time, he's like, "Well, I can always get money back, but I can't get a daughter back if she's dead," basically. And I love that afterwards, Shaft is like, "Well, if he's worth 10, I'm worth 20K." One of my favorite scenes in this whole movie. Like, this movie is considered like an action movie, I guess, but like, there's not much action in it. But I do love kind of like this whole scene, I think, is fantastic when he's doing the investigative stuff, when he goes to the bar and he like tells the bartender, "Hey, let me work at the bar for a bit." Because I think like Shaft lives across the road. And before this, he paid some guy to go in his place and turn the lights on for him. So he's working the bar and he sees these two white guys there, and he knows that they work for the mafia because they're scoping out his place. So he goes over, he's like kind of talking to him and just being himself, and then the one guy keeps looking up at the window, and he notices that one guy is drinking. So he's like, "I got these drinks on the house." He's drinking with them, and he's just kind of chatting with them, and like he always has this like smirk on his face. It's yeah. And so he's talking to these guys, and then like one guy comes up, some gay guy comes up and asks for two gin and tonics and like a virgin Bloody Mary. Or he's like, "Yeah, my friend over there thought you were hot," or something like that. The way he described it, I was laughing so hard. He's like, "Yeah, the girl with the groovy boobs, man." So funny. But he keeps feeding these guys liquor, and then we see the light turned on, and the guy looks over and he like nods at his guy. So Shaft knows that these guys are looking for him.
Smart play.
And then he picks up the phone and he's talking to Vic, and he's like, he's trying to be like secretive but also like not, because like Vic is like, oh, where are you at? And he's like, oh, I'm just at so and so bar. And he, oh, at first he asks like, who's this? And Shaft says something like, not saying who he is, but kind of like a hint towards like who he is to Vic. And then like Vic asks him, how many guys? And Shaft is like, two guys. Like looks right at him. It was like, there's two guys. So yeah, how do you guys not pick up that he's like talking about them? And he's like, okay, I'll send to a car down there momentarily. And then like Shaft, oh, Shaft is like, he has a gun underneath, and he's like, you know, I didn't introduce who I was yet. My name is, pause, John Shaft. And he's just like, freeze. That was so funny. And like, I used to watch so much. I've watched it so long, but Undercover Brother.
Oh yeah.
And like this kind of reminded me of that, like just the parody of that movie of this.
Now that you point that out, yeah.
Yeah. And then Shaft ends up bringing Linda home, who was a girl with groovy boobs.
Yeah. And they were pretty groovy.
They
Like, I
were.
wasn't lying.
They were kind of like, you know, hanging out, and then Shaft is like, I go take a shower, baby. And then she comes up and she's like, oh, I couldn't wait. And then, yeah, get in the shower and have sex. So they're at the cop station with the two mafia guys interviewing them. They got an address from them to meet up later on. Shaft is telling Ben where to meet. I thought it was interesting that Shaft kept his gun in the freezer. Like, I don't know. He kept it in a plastic bag, but like, I mean, I don't know anything about guns at all, but like,
I don't know if that's to maybe just a spare gun. Like,
maybe.
does he have his apartment rigged up? I don't know.
But like, would the freezer like affect anything in the gun? Like, I don't know.
You'd think it would affect it negatively, if anything, but.
Yeah.
All right, Google it.
While doing that, I love this scene whenever Vic comes to his place to take him down to the station. And he just goes, walks in his apartment. And he's like talking to Shaft. And he's like, you know, the captain asked me to take you in. And Shaft like says something. And then Vic is like, are you here, Shaft? Shaft is like, nah, man. Vic's like, all right, I'll be back later. Or call me when you're home or something like that. And like just their friendship and kind of work relationship, I think is awesome.
I don't know. People are just saying that it's just a common noir and action film trope used to demonstrate a character's extreme readiness and cool-headed preparedness for a fight. But
I mean, that makes sense, I guess, with Shaft a bit, right?
like, I've never seen that in a movie before. Apparently, Spike in Cowboy Bebop keeps his in a fridge too. I've
Okay,
never
all right.
watched that, but
Me either, yeah.
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so the captain, yeah, like I said, the captain heard John talking to the mafia guys. And so he has a meeting set up at a cafe with one of the mafia guys. And like John goes in and just asks for an espresso, and like the waitress is like, what do you want? And he's like, ah, take espresso. He's like, you wanted to eat with that? He's like, nah, just espresso. And then this guy walks in, this white guy, and just goes up to him. He's like, hey, I'm looking for this N-word guy named John Shaft. It's like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I guess it is the 70s, but like, he doesn't give a shit at all. And John's like, ah, sit down. You want espresso? And John's just being himself with this guy, and yeah. So they end up leaving. He's taking John to where Marcy is, who is Bumpy's daughter's name. And we see Ben following them with two other guys. So they make it to the building. There's two guys in there with the daughter, and I don't know if I feel like John and Ben were so unprepared for this.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, what happened? We see John get shot. They have like machine guns in there, and like John gets shot,
It's
and then Ben's guys are just hanging outside, and Ben is just like not really doing anything, just waiting inside, basically. How were you gonna say?
I was gonna say something, but I think it's the next. It's after this.
So they shoot John. One other gun mafia guy does get shot and killed. But they end up taking Marcy with them. And so they get Sean back. They're at a girl named Ellie, who I don't know if that was the girl that he was with. And John's like, yeah, Ben, like you're gonna stay here. You can stay in her daughter's room or whatever. And yeah, so John needs more guys with guns. Ben is getting him eight of his guys. And the one guy from before end up tailing Marcy and the other guy to where they're all hanging out.
Yeah, because they just went to that apartment to make sure she was alive.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't think,
But still,
well,
John burst in there like
yeah.
with
I don't know what he
nothing.
expected.
Exactly. So they get to the spot. It's like this kind of hotel, apartment place, and there's a few guys like that are taking out other workers like in this place. Like they take out some chefs, put on the chef disguises. Some guys like put on like the elevator workers, and then John and one of the guys are dropping in from a top thing and a rope, and like they just fucking drop down and make the loudest fucking noise ever. And we see John and the other guy make like a homemade kind of smoke bomb thing. And I thought that their plan was pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
It worked pretty well
Yeah.
because they got the fucking big hose,
Fucking fire hose.
fire hose, and they're on top of like the roof area, and Joe they strap John to it with like this homemade smoke bomb thing.
Yeah.
And he just goes over the side of the building, chucks the bomb in there, and then everyone in the room like goes out, and that's when the workers like either shoot them or like just fucking spray them with the hose. They get they get Marcy out of there, and then like I was like, I kept looking at how much time was left because I was bored. But like it was like again in the end there was like 5 minutes left, and I was like, well, they still have like a lot of stuff to do, right? Like they have to get Marcy back to Bumpy, and like I feel like there's like so much more to the movie, right? But then they get Marcy out, everyone gets in the taxis that Bumpy set up, runs away. John goes to a phone booth, the cops pull up, and then the credits roll. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, there's so much more to the movie that
I
needs to
know.
happen.
Yeah. And another thing I noticed too, because like normally we're so fabricated that, or not fabricated, so accustomed to the credits hap like starting 5 minutes before the runtime's over.
Yeah, the credits usually long, right?
Yeah, this movie, it had 5 minutes left and it went right to the end of the fucking 5 minutes. I was not expecting it to end at that point either. I was just like, what the
No.
fuck? Like, this ended so abruptly.
Like I wasn't like it didn't kill the movie for me, but I was just like, okay, yeah, he saved Marcy, but like I don't know what the sequel is, like if it has anything to do with Bumpy. Like if it does, then okay, maybe, yeah.
Is it going to be Rocky where it like picks up the second the first movie ends?
Yeah, because Bumpy screwed them over, basically, right?
Yeah.
And then Ben is nowhere to be seen, so it's like, I don't know, it's very abrupt, and
Yeah.
I wasn't mad, but it's like, okay, yeah, fine. The movie was still an hour and like 40 minutes, so like
Yeah.
it's a good runtime for what it is, but definitely caught me off guard of just how quick it
Yeah.
ended.
Yeah, because he calls Vic and tells Vic that like there's gonna be a big mess to clean up. And Vic tells him to clean it or close it for him. And then Shaft just says, you're gonna have to close it yourself, shitty, and then fucking hangs up and walks
Oh
away
yeah,
laughing.
because
That's what the girl said
yeah,
to
whenever Vic, oh yeah, and then Vic made fun of him
Yeah.
when he left, he's like, ah, close the door, shitty, and then they laughed so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But
But
yeah.
yeah. Anything else?
No.
Cool. All right, well, that's the way the bullets fly.
All right, how did you rate this movie?
I think I'm gonna go with a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Not like an amazing movie, but I think I can just appreciate the movie for what it is. I think the music is fantastic. Like I already said, I love the looks of this movie, the way the movie looks. I love the characters in it. I love the dialogue. I think Richard Roundtree is fucking fantastic as Shaft. And I just love the way that this movie kind of encapsulated this era for like African Americans and the whole like blaxploitation era that this started after, you know, the 60s and everything that happened then. So yeah, I'll go with 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I didn't really care much for like the story kinda,
Yeah.
but everything else I loved. So yeah, 3.5 for me.
All right. Fair.
What about you?
I gave it a 3.
Okay.
Basically said what you said. Like, it's not a great movie, but I can see why people love Shaft. He's just super charismatic, badass, gives no fucks. He's a fucking master with the ladies. The writing is so 70s and it's super cheesy, but it just, I don't know, it works for it. Love the score, the 70s porn music coupled with Isaac Hayes's fucking sweet serenades. It's one that I'll definitely watch again, but it's not one that I'm gonna like rush to watch. But yeah, like you, I can appreciate it, what it is. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus is quite the line. This is the man that would risk his neck for his brother. Man, can you dig it?
That was a white man that
I
wrote
was
that.
just fucking. I'm glad you said that because that was 100% a white man that wrote that. Absolutely. All right, based on
Jesus.
that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I have no fucking clue. It sounds like that line is saying it's a good movie, but also like low key making fun of this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll say like a 64.
You're close to the audience score. The critics score is an 88%
Okay.
on 48 reviews, and it is certified fresh.
Nice.
The audience score is a 66% on 10,000 ratings, an average score of 3.6 out of 5, or a 7.2 out of 10.
You know, I probably could have guessed higher because this is on this does have a Criterion release.
Yeah, that's true. But not every Criterion movie is a good one.
That's true. Cool.
All right.
Letterboxd has a 3.5 out of 5. Don't know if any of our friends have. Nope.
No? All right.
No.
Quick and easy.
Yep.
In that case, then, it's time for our
cunning stunts.
And how did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I mean, not much stunts at all in this movie at all. So I would say, like, I don't know, for the two that we got, I mean, it's like, I'll say 3 out of 10. And favorite stunt, I did like the opening fight scene quite a bit. I was hoping we got more of that through the movie, but you know, he's an investigator, he's not like a cop, so. I just like I already said, I like the close encounter of it and also like the quick POV of a couple of like Shaft and the guy, and then the guy just getting fucking yeeted through the window out of nowhere, and it just kind of show like Shaft is an investigator, but he's also a tough son of a bitch. So, and stunt I would like to try, I mean, I gotta come down the fucking side of the building with that rope and trying to chuck a bomb in the window.
Right.
That was you.
We're pretty much synced up again. Stunts gave it 3 out of 10. So it's not a big action movie, but the scenes that we do get are done well enough, even though the hand-to-hand combat is not overly convincing. My favorite stunt, I said Buddy getting tossed out the window, just strictly on the fact that it took me so much by surprise. I was like,
Oh,
what
me
the
too.
fuck? I
Yeah.
wasn't expecting that to happen. And stunt I would want to try, not the same stunt as you, but the same scene. I want to fucking blast a hallway full of these motherfuckers with a fire hose.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just think it'd be so fun. But yeah, I'm glad you picked it because I don't know if this is one I would just randomly throw on my own or not.
I know, me too. Like, you never kind of think of this
Yeah,
movie at all, really.
especially considering like we both bought it. It was $10 on Prime, so
Yeah.
and like it's worth it. It's worth the $10, but I don't think
Yeah.
I would have bought it if I didn't have to for the.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we can wrap it up. My pick for our next episode is one that was in the running, or was going to be in the running, I think, whenever we first started this podcast.
Oh shit.
But we already had another Nicolas Cage, so I don't think we were going to double it up. So there's my hint, Nicolas Cage. We're going to be doing Con Air.
Okay.
My buddy at work, he doesn't listen to our. Either one of our podcasts. His wife, I think, watches our YouTube videos on Elm Street, but he's been bugging me to do Con Air.
Okay.
And he caught me looking at Letterboxd yesterday at work, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, just looking up action movies to pick for our next one." He's like, "Fucking do Con Air." I was like, "All right, fine. I'll finally fucking pick Con
I
Air."
thought you were going to a different Nicolas Cage movie that we had.
Don't remember what the other one was.
Face Off, I'm
Oh,
pretty
it was
sure.
face. Oh, it was Face Off. That's right. It wasn't Con Air. It was Face
Yeah,
Off.
yeah.
All right. I almost picked a different Nicolas Cage movie, and I was gonna do Kick-Ass, but
That's been like on my docket since we started this
yeah,
podcast.
that will be a fun one.
Yeah. Sweet.
But
I'm excited to talk about Con Air. I love that movie, and
yeah.
it's one of Bettina's favorite movies too,
Oh
so
yeah?
yeah.
Shit, nice.
Yeah. Get me the bunny.
It's just, it's so obscure, but yeah, I'm excited for it.
Sick fest.
Yeah. But yeah, in the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. And shoot us a message.
Yeah. Cool. Talk to you guys next week. 2 weeks.
Bye.